The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
My pleasure that I welcome Dr. Raj Boy to the studios of Freedom 106.5. Welcome, Dr. Raj, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Nice, long time,
boy. I haven't seen you for a while.
Yeah, man. Nice to be here. You know what
we haven't done a radio program for a while.
Well, boy, I hope it's not the last.
You hope it's not the same thing.
It's the first. Yes. Yeah, man, but welcome. Of course, you know, something that taboo that people are afraid to talk about, sex and sexual health. I mean, we have a show here called The Lunchtime Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Where you listen, where people would ask their medical questions, but this is delving into a little bit more. Of course, we celebrated Father's Day. Well, happy related Father's Day
to
yourself. You know what I mean? So you know you have a son and your father is still alive, right?
Yes.
Your father is still alive. So that's nice to, for the generations to see. That's always a special thing. So hi to those fathers who, you know, experience that. But today we want to talk about the infertility in men. You know, sometimes, you know, you're in a relationship with a woman, you're married or girlfriend, and everybody find out, well, I know children ain't coming out here, boy. And they always look to blame the woman.
You're shooting blanks.
Yeah, but they always look to blame the woman. Something wrong with the woman.
That's the first blame.
Something wrong with the woman.
Right.
And sometimes, in many cases, the woman has take the blame and feel like something is wrong with her. She trying all kind of thing. Do you know all kind of thing? And the man might even make her feel like it's your fault. But really and truly, it might be him. And as men, you know, we don't like to own up to it and go and seek help and that kind of thing, you know? So we're talking about infertility in men today. How is it that a man could really tell? Are there any signs that a man could tell that he's infertile besides the woman not getting pregnant?
None? Absolutely none.
None at all?
The issue is, men don't own up to themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
First of all, you tell a man to go and get a semen analysis, he'll ask you why.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to do a semen analysis, a hormone test, which is testosterone level and prostate.
Right.
No matter what age you are. So let's say you're 25,
mm-hmm.
you have just gotten married.
Right.
Do that and have the results.
Mm-hmm.
So if later on you're planning to have a child, and the woman is not getting pregnant, and let's say your sperm count is 18 million,
mm-hmm.
with a low motility rate,
right.
then you know part of it is your fault.
Mm.
So you start treating both parties.
Mm.
Most of the time, as you said, the woman is blamed, and she feels it's her fault, so she starts doing things to fix herself.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is okay with her, but she's going to the doctor, she's taking her vitamins, she's doing what she's supposed to do, and she's not getting pregnant. So when you tell the man, hey, maybe you should get checked out, he thinks you're attacking his manhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I just get a good erection. Yeah. I just break plenty.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, not because you ejaculate a lot in terms of quantity means you have good sperm.
Right.
So you cannot tell by those things. Or a person, sometimes a person will say, well, I had a child when I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you're now 35 years of age, so things may have changed.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get that done.
Right.
So do a test for your fertility level.
Mm-hmm. But what are some of the things that men that may contribute to their infertility?
Lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you do, the foods that you eat, alcohol consumption, cigarettes, drugs,
right.
marijuana, all those things will contribute to you having a low sperm count.
Mm-hmm.
If you had mumps when you were young and it went down to the gonads,
right.
that could also contribute to you having no sperm. None. Mm-hmm. Absolutely none.
Mm-hmm.
So some men, just yesterday and this morning, two persons came to me. And they have zero sperm.
Hmm.
And these are men in their 30s. Healthy looking men, strong,
mm-hmm.
but they have zero sperm.
Hmm.
And both of them had the very same thing. Mumps when they were young.
Okay. What about it? Well, in terms of diet, you know, you always see men will eat avocados, this, that, you know, the punch, a thing good for the back, the oysters, that kind of thing. Could that help?
Not really. That's a fallacy.
Hmm.
There are certain foods that are good for men to consume,
mm-hmm.
but if you have a low sperm count, it's going to remain low unless you treat it.
Right.
Same thing with low testosterone. If it's low and you don't do HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy, it's going to remain low.
Mm.
Same thing with if you have sperm that are not maturing, you have a lot of sperms that are dead because of bacteria in your testicles, you have to get rid of it. If you don't get rid of the bacteria and if you don't do certain things to cleanse your system, you are going to continue to have low sperm and you're going to continue to have sperm. You'll have a lot of sperm, but a lot of dead sperm. So the motility rate is something that is very important. So when you do a semen analysis and you see you have a sperm count of, let's say, 30 million At 30 million, you're supposed to get someone pregnant. Mm-hmm. But if you have a mortality rate of 10%, that's only 3 million. You can't get somebody pregnant with that.
But so much per million, but now you only need one.
It's only one you need. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So even if you had two, at least one could get through.
No. It can't get through. Mm. You have fast progressive, medium progressive, and low progressive, meaning the slow ones.
Right.
Actually, it's the slow ones that get there because the others go in front and die. Mm. They clear the way.
Okay.
So they clear the way. They're the swimmers who clear the way for this one to come up there. Mm. Right? Now, this is a layman term. Of course, there are scientific reasons and whatnot.
Right.
So if the woman has a lot of acidity in the vagina, a lot of sperm is going to die from the time he ejaculate.
Mm.
Right? If he has only a limited amount of slow progressive, by the time they get to the uterus, they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
They have nowhere to go again. They die. So that's why you need millions and millions of sperm with a high mortality rate, a lot of medium progressive and slow progressive. So the fast progressive one, they go in front and it's like tadpoles. You ever see tadpoles in the water?
Yeah.
It's the very same thing. Mm. That's exactly what happens. You'll see a lot of tadpoles and they're moving about, helter skelter and whatnot. But it's the one that is there moving slowly that is going to impregnate the woman.
Mm-hmm. What about the undergarments men's wearing, the tight, tight pants they like to wear these days?
Well, you know that's a no-no. Mm. Because what you're doing, you're pulling your scrotum up to your body and the heat from your body is going to cause problems because the scrotum has to hang down, especially in warm weather. And we live in a warm temperature country.
Mm.
But if you wear tight, tight underwear, and you pull that scrotum up to your body, you're causing damage to yourself. So there's so many factors.
Mm.
One of the questions you asked before, I'm trying to remember, is about, you know, what are the things that you can do?
Yeah.
First of all, read. Mm-hmm. Understand. Speak to someone who knows. Don't talk to the man on the block who will tell you, you know, long ago they used to tell you if a guy get what you call run-ins, which was a VD, an STD or STI long ago.
Mm-hmm.
They say, if I sit on a hot galvanized, that's where I get it. But it's not so.
Mm.
There are things that you would consume, things that you will do. Of course, if you have any kind of STD or STI, that is also going to cause you to have dead sperm.
Mm.
So you have to be very careful what you're doing.
Definitely. All right, folks. Of course, we're talking low fertility men. So, I mean, I don't know if there are any studies shown, but in Trinidad and Tobago, do we have that problem with low fertility in men?
We have a massive problem. If you read some of the articles that were done over the last 5 years, concerning in vitro, you will see the amount of men in Trinidad who are infertile.
Mm.
You'll find out there are thousands of men out there who are suffering from this. And they're not willing to take care of themselves. They will go to a clinic.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to pinpoint anyone. I'm not trying to put down anything. But they would look at the clinic. They will tell you you have to spend X amount of hundreds of thousands of dollars to have a child.
Yeah.
But there are simple things that you can do with the proper guidance.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent you from spending all that money and you could still have a child.
Mm.
That's one of the things I do at my clinic. So up to yesterday, a woman sent a picture of her son, 6 years old. She said, he's turning six. Thank you for having this child. There are people who will meet me in the mall and say, this child is yours.
Mm.
You know, because I was instrumental in helping
him. Oh, what did you say? Sure.
No, I don't have any outside children. That's one thing based with me.
Yeah.
You should know my operation. Of course, I operate.
Joking with you, man. Yeah, man. Right.
So it is something that I think a lot of men need to pay attention to, be cognizant of it, and do the right tests and have the results.
Yeah.
As a young man, you should do that test. Come in, get the prescription, go and do the test and have it.
Mm-hmm.
So should anything happens to you later on, for example, erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, anything that comes about, you have that information that we can refer to and start treating you right away.
Yeah. Now, sometimes you will see some older men in their 50s and 60s still being able to make children, you know? How is that possible sometimes?
It's very possible.
Mm.
As a man ages, it doesn't mean to say sperms get less.
Mm.
Once you have good levels of sperm, right? Okay, let's take it from this way. You're healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is okay.
Yeah.
You're a young man. You don't have any sports injury. You have nobody never kick you in your groin. No ball ever hit you. They're playing cricket or football or whatever. So you're healthy. You have good sperm. As you age, your body reabsorbs the sperm after 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So although masturbation is good to get rid of sperm, your body reabsorbs. So it's continuously manufacturing. So throughout your life, you're manufacturing sperm. That's why an 80-year-old man could get someone pregnant.
80 years?
80.
Wow.
Yeah.
A grandfather, great-grandfather could be a father again.
A great-grandfather could be a father, correct.
Now, that word they use there, masturbation. I mean, too much of it, could that kill your sperm?
That will lessen the amount of sperm that you have. It will kill your sperm.
Oh, okay, lessen.
So you would not have the volume to impregnate someone.
Right, folks.
Volume in sperm is also, in not volume like the DJ setup that you have.
Yeah.
Volume in terms of the amount, the quantity of sperm is very important too. You want to have between 3 to 5 mLs.
So, and even though you only need one, the volume is still important.
There are about 10 different factors with sperm, with seminal fluid, that is very important. The acidity level, the pH balance, the volume, the count, the motility rate. So there are so many factors that will determine whether you can have a child or not.
All right. So and can STDs prevent men from having children?
Definitely. It will, especially STDs that goes to your scrotum and affect you there.
All right, definitely. Folks, if you have any questions, of course, do feel free to call us. 627-3223, 625-2257. Look at the phone line ring right away, boy. I call you glad, Dr. Raj. Remember we on the radio? I want my work.
Watch your language.
Yeah, watch your language. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, boy. Doc. Yes,
good day.
Okay, so it is one. How you make twins? How you go triplet? Did you say more? Make
the cell does the cell does split. This the one one spermatozoa will hit two eggs.
Oh, so the eggs.
That's
is
the eggs. The eggs.
So it's like pool then?
Yeah.
Playing pool.
Yeah. It's not.
Yeah, not like you're playing pool.
Once that sperm enters, it creates a shell around inside of the egg that nothing could penetrate it again.
Yeah, so if a man had like two sets of twins.
He good. He good. And there's some people who are like that.
Yeah. Somebody say hi, Dr. Raj is here. Truck driver from Princess Tongue.
All right, truck driver.
From Princess Tongue. In terms of Father's Day, Dr. Raj, I think I could go into it. Yeah, man, you could deal in many different topics. You know, I've been talking since last week how Father's Day seem to be much less celebrated than Mother's Day.
There are a number of factors for that.
Yeah.
Fathers are taken for granted.
Mm-hmm.
Although we would work twice or three times as much just to make sure our children are okay.
Yeah.
To provide things for them, to provide. You know, we have dual roles.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say a mother's role is more important than a father's role, but it all depends on the family.
Right.
It all depends on the life and the upbringing of the children.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can't discount what a mother does.
Mm-hmm.
I would never try to equate what I do with my wife. What she does is very important. But some children take their fathers for granted.
Mm-hmm.
It's, hey, dad, how are you going? That's it, you know.
But is it because
when they see mommy is mommy and this and this and that and
that.
So, mommy is different. It brings a different feelings to the individual.
Mm.
And that reflects it in the way that people celebrate Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So Father's Day is of less significance as Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So some children may honor their father as much as their mother. I try my best to do that.
Right.
I understand the importance of my mother. I think my mother has always been my best friend, but my father is also very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So they love that. I think I love both of them equally.
Yeah, but boys are always closer to their mother than they.
I'm always closer to my mother, but I have developed over the years an understanding of my father.
Mm-hmm.
And because I developed that over the years, I realize the importance that the sacrifice that he made, the things that he did. He wasn't there as much as mommy to do things at home, but he was actually doing much more on the outside to make sure home was okay on the inside.
And was it only until you became a father and, you know, charge of your family, you realized that?
No, I realized that when I was going to university.
Mm.
And I actually wrote him a poem and I told him, I said, a child, like a grandchild, will show the love that a father has for his child, he will show it to the grandchild.
Mm-hmm,
because I saw that with an uncle of mine, and that's how I knew it.
Mm.
He was a disciplinarian when it came to his sons.
Yeah.
He just turned 95, by the way.
Mm.
And I looked at him, and when his granddaughter was around, he was a different man.
Yeah.
Different man. And I said, wait a minute, something's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
So when I became a father, I understood that. And when I became a grandfather, it resonated with me because I say, my grandchildren can't do no wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll spoil them. And I always tell my son, I will spoil them. You take care of them. You discipline them.
Right,
you do what you have to do.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Bass, good afternoon to you. Doctor.
Hey, Rowley Jr., boy.
Yeah, nope, boy.
Good afternoon.
Doc, one of the things I'm interested in big time as I age is the question of testosterone level. Regarding as you age, as it decreases, how could you, besides exercise, what areas you would recommend for increased testosterone? Bass, listen to me, go there.
Mm.
Doc, I wait, I'll listen off here.
All right. One of the things that you said there is a fallacy that we grew up with, and a lot of people think that when you exercise, you increase your testosterone. That's not so. When you exercise, you maintain your level of testosterone, but you need testosterone to exercise. Without testosterone, you're going to be a weakling in the gym.
Mm.
You will not have the energy to do the things that you want to do. So as you age, you're going to deplete your testosterone. Once you cross 39, your testosterone goes down by 1% every year. So if you start off with low testosterone, let's say your testosterone level is 99% of where it's supposed to be. I'm using percentage here. Because a lot of tests, people look at the test and say, my testosterone good. Look, the parameter says 220, 250, and I'm 325, right? But it's not good because your minimum level might be 550, but you're not looking at that because nobody tells you about that. Nobody works out those things and tell you it. We have a formula as sexologists that we use to determine what is your ultimate testosterone level. So as you age, there are a number of factors that are going to cause you to deplete your testosterone. One of it is not getting enough sleep. When you don't get enough night rest, you burn your testosterone. You deplete your testosterone.
Mm.
Exercise helps to maintain it. Now, if we Trinidadians live a sort of lifestyle, especially around carnival time, where we burn our candles at both ends and the middle.
Mm.
And the middle.
Right.
So we don't get enough rest. Mm. We're partying, we're drinking, we're doing all the
wrong. Some people living like that right through.
Well, I know I'm about to tell you that. It's not only carnival time. Some people, they look forward to a Friday.
Mm.
Friday, go and drink and have a good time and whatnot. But you're depleting your testosterone as you age.
Mm.
One of the things that you have to do is know your level at your age now. So if you are 18, 28, 38, 48, 58, 68, 78, know your testosterone level now. Go and do a test.
Mm.
And every age in between. Once you have that test there, you are going to know when you have a problem, what to refer to, so you have a starting point. Once you have a starting point, it's easy to treat the individual. If you don't have that, then you have a serious problem.
Yeah. What about drinking and smoking, these things?
Well, you know, somebody will say, well, I know a man who does drink 10 punching a day and he could still have children. Yes, there are some individuals who could do that, but not everyone could.
Mm.
And alcohol does deplete your testosterone level and it does deplete your sperm.
Right.
Count.
Mm-hmm.
Cigarette smoking has so many. There's so many chemicals in cigarette that you're actually destroying yourself internally.
Yeah.
And part of that destruction is the cells that you need to reproduce, which is the sperm.
Right. What about prostate cancer? Can that affect your sperm?
Before we go further, if a person ejaculates, and someone tastes it, of course with oral sex, the person who is ejaculating, if they're smoking cigarette, the person can actually taste nicotine.
It. Mm.
So therefore, it does something to the testicles.
Right.
So that's why they tell you, if you want to have good tasting sperm, drink pineapple juice, coconut
pineapple
water,
juice.
Things like that.
Yeah.
So let me hear the question now.
Yeah, prostate cancer, could that also affect your
prostate is a sex gland, and it's located in your anus, right? And it is the gland that is equivalent to a woman's G-spot.
Yeah.
Anything that affects the prostate will affect your sexual life. So if you have a high prostate reading, it's going to affect the way you perform sexually. It's going to affect many different things. There's something called the Cowper gland, which secretes the fluid to actually move the sperm.
Mm.
That if that is infected, you're going to have problems. You're going to kill your sperm.
Hmm.
That's why there's a valve in the inside of you that is connected. It's called in a Y, where the urine comes out and the sperm. That valve has to lock off totally the urine when the sperm is coming out. Otherwise, urine kills sperm.
Hmm. I know there may be some women listening out there and maybe in that relationship and wanting to have children. Like I said, they may be met to feel that it's their fault. How can a woman talk to a man to say, well, let's go get this checked out?
The conversation is something that is very important. You have to be able to have that conversation with your partner and say, hear what? We're planning to have a child. Let's go and make sure everything is okay with both of us.
Mm.
Don't make it, man. You have to go and check yourself because something might be wrong with you. If you talk to the man like that, you're hitting at his ego. Don't do that. Make it a conversation about us because the child is a product of both of you. It's a relationship. Both of you have that relationship and you're creating another entity.
Mm.
Once you're creating another entity, it's both of us. So let's go and check. Let both go and get checked out and make sure everything is okay.
Mm.
So when that time comes, we can be assured that we'll have a pregnancy and, of course, childbirth.
Right. Hello, good afternoon.
Okay. Good afternoon to you and Mr. Raj.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
You know, Raj, remind me when you had no came out, you know, on the other station.
Yeah.
So they're all at the same time in the afternoon. I think it was 4 o'clock.
Yes, that's you're right. That's the sex drive.
And everybody started about, oh God, oh my God, this man is broken. Look at you, what did they? What about them children? La la la. You remember that?
Yes.
And look how time has changed. Eh?
I know a man who ran out of the studio when I started to talk sex.
I remember that. People started clamoring, oh God, what to this station? Oh my God, this man talks talking this kind of thing. When they came with them children, when they.
And parents used to put their children in the car and put on the program so they'll learn.
And then you came in night time.
Right, correct. With sex explosion.
Yes, yes. Nice to hear from everyone.
Yeah, man. Nice to hear.
Good day.
Now, as I talk about, sex and children, how are you with sex education in schools? Because we see what's going on out there now. How important do you think that is?
I think it's lacking. I think we're doing a disservice to the children now because children are learning sex from pornography, which is not the right avenue to learn sex. They're seeing what you call slam bang, thank you, ma'am, roughness. They're seeing violence in sex, which is not part of really lovemaking and whatnot. And they have a warped idea of what is sex and sex education. So we are doing a disservice, but of course, we live in a country that has too many churches, meaning too many religion that is controlling things. I'm a Sanatanist Hindu, and I know for a fact that maybe in a Hindu school they wouldn't teach it. But sex has to be taught. It has to be taught the right way. People must learn what is the correct terminology, what are the things that they need to do, how to go about having a good sex life, how to treat a woman. A woman is not a sex object, and most of the time we treat women like a sex object. But if we understand the beauty of a woman and the beauty of a relationship and the beauty of making love, then we would treat each other differently.
Yeah, man. Well said, well said. In terms of, well, we're talking about in schools, but, you know, you should be learning these things from home. There are some parents who cannot and will not talk to their children about sex.
Because they're not educated enough. And that's one of the problems we have also. That's why Sexplosion was such a big hit, and for 20 years I was on educating the adults, educating children. I still meet guys who were in their teens.
They
and
they
grew up listening to it. Some guys used to hide under the bed to listen to the program. Yeah. And they now tell me, I have learned so much from you. Why can't we continue to do that? Why can't we continue to teach? Why can't we continue to educate, especially the adults now, so that the adults are able to have that conversation with their children?
Yeah.
You don't have to use any raw words. You have to know the correct words. When my children were, my daughter was 4, my son was 2, I started to talk to them about certain words that use the right words.
Yeah, especially thing with molestation and
all those things. There's so many things happening in the world. So many things. But the major problem we have in the world is this. This cell phone. And everyone wants a cell phone. Nothing wrong with
that. Why is that a problem?
Because of the information that is coming through a cell phone. It is not filtered. It is raw. It is misinformation. That's why it's dangerous. So if you as a child continuously see that a guy is having sex with a woman and he's choking her and slapping her wrong and she's screaming,
he thinks that is the normal thing to do.
So he's not educated enough to know that is not the norm. That is a fetish. That is something that is, and a lot of people tell him, what is a fetish? What is a kink? What is that?
They don't know.
They don't know. They don't even know the meaning of the word. So why can't we continue to educate people in such a way that they are able to understand that, hey, there's a way. And I have done it for over 20 years. There is a way that you can educate people without being raw, without you. Because I remember the TAT wanted to shut me down. And one of the questions I posed to them, can you tell me when we could educate people about sex? Can you tell me what time you choose to have sex? It's an any day, anytime thing. But I'm not going to come on the air here and talk about, if I use the word penis and vagina, yes, I'm not going to use the street words. But penis and vagina is the clinical medical term, so what, there's nothing wrong with it. You cannot chastise me for using the correct words. What you can chastise me for is if I step over the bounds. And I wouldn't do that in a daylight program. If it's a nighttime program, it's something different.
I remember the TV show, and always remember that?
Yes, we were my director. TV show, went to TV, and I forgot that.
And that problem with that too on TV.
Yes.
But that was more of a visual.
Visual than anything.
You're there talking.
Oh, yes, you were my director.
Yeah, TV show. You know what I mean? And all that I was saying, all these things. And that was at 6 p.m. on a particular station.
Yes.
And that was time you could have sat down with your child
and
you
know, have learned something.
Learn something and had the conversation. But why they're so afraid? They're so taboo. And then when the children reach 14, 15, because when children are doing this thing, 11, 12, you're seeing all kind of thing in schools, then 14, 15, 16, they get pregnant and you want to hold your head and ball.
I have had many parents brought their children to me because they have listened to me.
Yeah.
Then they grew up with me, the parents that is. And I remember one case. This girl thought it was okay to take out a picture of herself naked on bed and send it for a boyfriend, because this is her boyfriend.
Yeah, yeah.
And he shared it with all his friends.
Right, look at that.
And she was devastated by that and whatnot. And she came and the father and mother brought her.
Mm.
And I sat down and spoke to her and I said, you know, these are the things that happen. And, you know, once that goes out there, there is no pulling it back.
Mm.
There's no way you can get rid of it.
Right.
And you have to, first of all, you should have never done it. But now that you have done it, I hope you learn the lesson from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had many parents bring their daughters and their son for me to talk to them.
Mm.
Somebody caught their son masturbating and he was, I think, 13 going on 14. And they were these church-going people and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, come, we'll go and talk to Dr. Raj. This is so wrong. So I asked the parents, you know, certain questions and whatnot. And I turned to them and I educated them as much as I educated the son.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that are natural and normal for you to do, but there's a place and time for everything.
Yeah.
So you have to know these things. There are boundaries.
Mm.
And all these, you cannot, if you tell a child, do not masturbate, and that child has masturbated before and found the sweetness of it, you're going to tell that child no after that?
Mm.
It's impossible. So what you're doing there is you're creating a problem. Instead of creating a problem, let's find a solution. Let's find a solution how we could educate persons to make sure that they don't do the wrong things. And in society, as I said, we have a very diverse society. You know, we have a culture that I love. I love Trinidad more than anything else. I'm telling you as it is. I'm a Trinidad.
I know that.
I'm a patriot.
That. Yeah.
Right? So why can't we find a way to educate everyone across the board, regardless of race, age, religion, and we have a better society? But nobody's willing to sit down and do it. You know why? The minute a politician starts with that, somebody say, he's a sex addict, or he's a pervert, or he's, they'll start putting labels on you.
Mm.
And this is where the problem lies. From the time somebody takes the mantle, as the gentleman said, when I went on the radio, and the first word I said in the studio was penis and vagina, that the sentence that...
Them thing where you say them thing on radio.
Yeah. I tell the junior Saldino, grab his book and run out the studio, and he said, I know the one. Chris Sion was there with me.
Mm.
And after a while, he would remain and listen to me, and eventually he became my co-host for 15 years.
Yeah, man.
So these are the things that happen with people. They are judgmental at first, but I know that. So I don't... When somebody comes to me and they chastise me about... there was a minister, a president in power, and say, I corrupt in society, you know.
Yeah.
And I ask him, I say, how?
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, my people has been listening to you. Anytime I'm on the block, I only hear you on the radio, and this, and you only that's talking sex, 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 sex.
Mm-hmm.
I say, have you ever listened to my program? He couldn't answer me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a lawyer, you know. He couldn't answer me. And I told him there and then. I said, if you listen to my program, you'll see the value of it. That's why your people is listening to it.
Hmm. Wow. What he says, people are too false. Very good program, they pretend.
Now, too much pretentious people in our society.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I know you also do a lot of counseling with couples and stuff. Infidelity is a very big thing in society.
Very big.
How do you advise a man to stay with one woman or a woman to stay with one man?
Circumstances, every person is different, every couple is different. You have to listen to what they have to say, you have to listen to the reasons behind it, you have to actually find the reason for a person to step out of a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they do it purely because it's physical. They have a physical need that is not being met. Now, again, I don't want nobody jump down my throat and say, I encourage an infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
I am not. I am just here to tell you what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you realize in the relationship, if the person doesn't do that, the relationship is going to break up. Although doing it will cause the relationship to break up.
Yeah.
So you have to listen to what they have to say. You have to try to figure out, you know, how could we find a solution for this? What can we do?
You had to want both parties have to want to. You had to be willing.
Correct. Mm. Correct. And well, for the time both of them reach by me, I know they're willing.
Yeah.
Because they have had the conversation at home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me give you a problem that I face. I see a lot happening. Interracial relationship.
Okay.
An interreligion relationship.
Mm.
A lot of times, one religion want to be dominant over another religion, and that causes a friction in the relationship. Same thing with interracial relationship. And I've had many persons that I've had to counsel because of that. Everything looks good on the outside, but it's not. Because it's not what they really want, and they're having a lot of friction. And one person, so that doesn't lead to infidelity, although sometimes it does. But I'm being broad here, very broad. So there's so many issues in our society that we have that we need to address, that we need to understand, and we need to understand why it's happening. I have been at the grassroots level. So I'm not talking from books and theory and whatnot, because a book written in North America doesn't talk to Trinidad. You have to look at Trinidad as a society and what happens to Trinidad. Something written in England is not for Trinidad. So when you look at the Trinidad diaspora, the Trinidad religion, the Trinidad people, the intermingling of certain parts of society, a person from Digo Martin is much different from a person from Debe. And they don't understand each other culture. It's difficult. And although we are small little
Same island, country. Yeah.
Same country, a little dot. So when you understand these things and you look at the dynamics and you understand that, hey, there are reasons why people step out of their relationship that is not only because of sex, then you start dealing with it differently. But if you only look at it as a sexual thing, you only think that, hey, he like to have sex, that's why he want another woman. She like to have sex, that's why she want another man. It's not only because of those things. It's also because of the way you treat your spouse. The way you speak to your spouse, the things that you do with your spouse. Some guys, they're married and they don't even spend time with their spouse. They don't go anywhere with them. They don't take them out for dinner. They don't date their spouse. You have to date your spouse. Spend time and quality time building your relationship and being better with your partner.
That's what saves us. Let's talk real talk, real talk. They want real talk by Raj. Like they want an explosion. That's an explosion on here, boy. Yeah, boy. You know? I remember a time we did a show. Remember when you had the book, the astrology book?
Sextrology,
boy.
That was the biggest. You know, I don't use any book because I have all the information in my head. That's the only time I ever use a book on a program.
Yeah, boy.
You remember that?
People
are calling it
that. Calling because there's certain things. I mean, a lot of people don't believe in the astrology with the signs and stuff. But how important is that, the compatibility?
Compatibility is very important. Chemistry in a relationship is very important. Yes, you'll find astrological signs. There are some persons who are more in sync with one another, and there are some persons who are not in sync with each other. And even the person who belongs to my astrological sign, which is Taurus, a female, I don't get along with Taurus, who female at all. At an intimate level. We get along good otherwise. But at that level, it could never happen. I've had many friends who are Taurians.
Good afternoon. Hello.
Hey, good day to you, Raj.
Good day.
Good day. Good day to you, Beast.
Yeah, man. What's going on, boy?
Very well, I'm listening. Well, I taken a good skip for me election last yesterday.
Yeah, boy.
I said, well, boy, I'm so happy people. The people made an overwhelming choice. So, yeah, I mean, that life goes on. I mean, I tried to get in touch with the candidate of him. Congratulations, buying him. He's a pastor and he lives there. You have a number on the board there. I download the church, but the number on the.
This is why you lose the election. Are we talking with Dr. Raj? Are we talking?
Right, I ain't talking about the challenge, man. I mean, Dr. Raj. What you said, it's so relayed that how we men will be so, when we were in court and things, we'll be so, you know, so much of injury, so vicious. And all of a sudden, you know, after you marry or so, after things pass, and you know, you don't really pay attention to certain things. I know women so sensitive. As a matter of fact, I found myself in a situation where, you know, like the guy before, you know, he had a real emphasis on Mother's Day and Father's Day and these things. You know, that was a big thing for him. But I know, found myself where that wasn't really a big thing to me. I did pay attention, but I didn't use to pay attention in any way like the other guy depends. That's now the lady used to kind of like. You know, I mean, I'm a talking about the person of the mother, so, you know, she kind of like, that was an issue, eh? So, you know, we just recommend and sense all these signs, and sometimes if I get a little insurance of what these ladies like, and sometimes that is the women in thing, and generally women like to be taken out, they like to be bought gifts, or they like to be treated nicely, and you know, sometimes too, we find ourselves, due to the stress of that life, we find ourselves talking to our spouse, and then the rough and thing too, and then when we in the office, and thing now, we give them girls sweet talk, and laughing and talking.
I'm glad you brought up that point. Imagine talking rough to your wife, buffing she up, and want to make love to she in the night. How she feels about you?
Yeah, that, yeah. I hear next thing vice versa. I am a man too. I don't like nobody talk, no woman talk to me rough. And then after you come talk me one thing, you know, I mean, You see, we have a quarrel. See, a quarrel, I was always say in a relationship, eh? There are certain things about never say in a relationship. No matter how vexed you are, you can, there are certain words they say, certain things they say.
You cannot take it back. You can never take it back. And one of the things...
Keep your mouth hush. It had to be a two-way street, there, vice versa. And as I think couples need to discuss at the beginning of the relationship, babe, see what happened. There are certain things you must not see.
Don't ever say.
No matter what you do, you just can't repair that thing. If you imagine you go to kiss his foot, make love to them, and they know, don't in their mind, they remember, that's what you
correct.
Said, that's what you said.
One of the things a woman should never tell a man is about his size of his penis or his function in bed. Because he will never forget that.
Try. So get one of the points. I mean, this is the area you tell us. And I mean, that is we don't remember. And those are parts of relationship that you need to really educate people even before they get into a relationship. Because you will know. Because that's some people feel that natural thing. You know, sometimes you see a mother, your father, your parent before doing that pattern, saying hurtful things. And some people override it. Because I came, our close relative of mine. And he will say these things. But you know, like, he don't mean nothing. The next few minutes, he talking to you normal like he never said it to him. normal. And I even had that experience with women. Normal. Some of them, you know, certain things. All right, it's about time. That's the same thing. They will say anything, come on them out. And then next, they normal. You wouldn't even know. They come back and tell you, I love you. Don't mind us. Have a blessed one, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Relationships nowadays, Dr. Raj, don't last like they used to before. I mean...
Commitment is a difficult thing now, you know. This commitment now in a relationship is more materialistic. It's more about the Joneses.
Yeah.
What the friend get. My friend got 20 roses the other day and you only sent 10 for me. What wrong with you?
Now what about this woman, this independent woman thing now who don't need a man?
I think that is a serious issue because that is one of the things that is affecting society. If you of the opinion that your education and all these things are more important, and you don't know how to develop a relationship. Because, see, most men, when they enter a relationship, is for a long term, you know. And that's what women don't understand.
Yeah.
And that long term is family life. That's what they're looking for. Serious-minded men. Of course, there are men who only look for sex.
Yeah.
And let's face it, they don't want even want a relationship. All they want, slam, bam, thank you, man, I'll meet you tonight.
Hit and run.
That is normal. For most men.
Yeah.
But most men who wants to build a relationship with a woman is for long term. And if a woman is only concerned about her career and she really don't need a man and this, that, and the other, I'll give you a good example. I have a friend. Two daughters, both of them qualify surgeon.
Yeah.
You know what the mother told them? Don't bother to get married. You know, anytime you want sex, go and have sex and you continue with your career. Imagine your mother telling you that.
Wow.
When my friend told me that, I almost fell off the chair. I said, what? Because there's no value to a marriage. There's no value to a relationship. So when you start thinking like that, that is what is going to happen. I saw a guy doing something with Whoopi Goldberg and he said...
I was just trying to play.
You'll end up like her.
With a cat, yeah.
Yeah. Which is a factual thing. Everything he said...
Was true.
Yeah. And factual. And this is what we have to face in society. You must be able to balance your personal life, your sexual life, and all these things with your career. But some women are so focused on their career. After they get all their degree and they become a doctor, a lawyer, now they're looking to start a relationship. What kind of relationship can you have? You didn't grow into it. So all you're looking for is the first man who willing to marry me, I want to marry him.
But can you really blame women for that, for thinking like that, though? Because, you know, maybe they did, you know, give a man a chance and they get hurt or some kind of thing.
We all have been there, right? But you have to try it again. You have to not blame everybody for one thing that has happened, because you never know where your luck is going to strike.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen. But I wouldn't say it's 50-50 to blame, you know. There's so many women who are concentrating on their career and their betterment and whatnot. They really don't care. They don't give a damn about the men.
Yeah, boy. Don't give a damn, Melissa. Hello.
Hello, Grace.
Hi, cool man.
Dr. Raj, we have this situation. The woman is saying, look, I want to have a baby, but I don't want to get married. Would you like to comment on that, sir?
That's a personal choice, and I have no problem with that. There are women out there who want to have a child, and they don't want to get married. But there are many men who are willing to donate their sperm for a woman to get married, as long as they get it to put it in naturally.
Definitely, boy.
So... If that's your choice, again, that is a personal choice. And if that is your choice, by all means, go ahead with it.
627-3223, 625-2257. This is once in a lifetime opportunity, folks. Dr. Rogers here on Freedom 106.5. Hello.
Hey, me here again, boy.
Yeah, boy.
Dr. Raj.
Yes, sir.
Will you agree with me that in a relationship, sex is supposed to be the icing on the cake and not part of the mixture of the cake? Don't I mean the relationship is supposed to be at such a level and bonding that the sex is just a, you know, that tips off the whole relationship and not the ingredients of the relationship? I'll listen to your comments. Bye.
Let me tell you what I just say. Sex is not the most important thing in a relationship, but it is the cement that binds the relationship together. That answers your question, I hope. Mm-hmm. There's so many factors that are needed, but sex is that ingredient that brings that relationship together and holds it. So it's the cement that binds the relationship together.
All right. Hello, good afternoon.
Me again.
Yeah. You like this show today, boy?
Sex and love, or they are separate and distinct?
Two separate things.
Sex and love.
But the best sex is when you're in love with the person.
Yeah, really?
Don't you agree?
Well, sometimes, you know.
When you're in love with someone, oh God, come on, babe. You're in love with somebody and you've been intimate with that person. There's a different feeling.
Yeah, when you make love to somebody, nice.
No, I don't talk about making love.
When you love somebody, you make love to them. When you're not in love with somebody, you have sex with them.
No, you can still make love to the person. Mm. You can still make love to the person, but there's that added ingredient.
But the attraction, everybody different. Yeah. You know? You might know what you do. Choking and stroking. Yeah.
Right. You go down a different road.
I take a little break.
What him?
Take a little break.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Of course, we're going to wrap it up with Dr. Raj in just a short while. Thanks for stopping by. So, I can't let you bring in another talk cricket by West Indies playing tomorrow.
Yes, West Indies playing, boy. Oh, God, boss.
I know that your team. Yeah, cricket man
cricket to the bone, boy.
But what about cricket you love? So some people find cricket boring.
I like the excitement. I like the strategy. Excitement. I like the... There's a lot of intricate things that goes into cricket. It's not just a bat and a ball.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the setting of the field, you have to have a brain to really set a field. Imagine a man is going to hit a ball 360 degrees into your hand,
mm-hmm.
and you are in an impossible position.
Yeah.
Who thought of that? It has to be the captain. Mm. The captain is going to put you in a spot where he's going to tell the bowler, bowl the ball in this particular area, and that man is going to catch it. Yeah. And vice versa. Yeah. Sometimes the bowler does that. So there's a lot of strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exciting if you understand the byplays, if you understand what's happening on the field. Mm. And sometimes you see the gentleman, manly behavior by the players.
Mm.
A man will bounce another man and come down and say, hey, you okay, boy?
Yeah.
You know? It's like animosity. I want to kill you and walk away. No.
Mm.
You'll see that happening. Mm. So I like that about the game.
Yeah.
I think it's something that has a lot of fairness in it. I like to see the camaraderie and I like to see the rivalry.
Mm. What do you think about the USA getting into cricket right now?
I am very happy for that.
Mm.
I'm very happy for that, for the mere fact that anything to expand cricket.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was in the USA studying from 1979 to 1984.
No cricket.
There was no cricket.
Ain't no about cricket.
No. Mm. I started to come home to Trinidad to watch my cricket.
Mm.
And that used to piss me off.
Yeah.
Now you could watch it anyway.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, boy.
You've seen the talent, and there's some young American cricketers. My brother has something called Legends of West Indies Cricket,
mm-hmm.
where he and I will get all the old cricketers and take them on tours.
Yeah.
And one of the tours that we used to do was in the USA.
Mm.
And you see all these young cricketers are talking about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Gordon Greenidge will be teaching them how to bat, mm. and the bowlers will teaching them how to bowl.
Yeah.
These are the guys who are playing now.
Mm.
This guy Taylor, he was the opener against we.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the openers for the USA team playing against we.
Okay.
And now he's playing big cricket. He's in the World Cup.
Mm. Wow.
So you know how proud I feel when I see those things?
Yeah, but you're so excited, Dr. Rogers.
No, cricket. I love cricket. I love cricket.
I wish I could be the same.
Yeah. No, you like basketball.
Yeah. Hello.
Boy, Bass, you asked Dr. Rogers the rightest question.
Mm.
Because he explained it in detail about strategy and so on. And I wish one of these days, brother, you know, you take it to watch cricket and let me show you exactly the setting of the field and the name of the fielding positions and that kind of thing.
Correct.
To know how all this outswing and in-swing. Mm. To know where to put the fieldsman forward, short leg. So
correct. People don't know that.
One of these days, boys.
Yeah.
That's good, boy. You asked a good question.
Well, excited, man.
I listen, and it's sounding good.
Yeah, man. All right, listening, sounding good. Sounding good, man. So, Dr. Rajan, wrapping up, I mean, with infertility in men, of course, you know, you could promote your clinic where people could actually come to see you, could let them know.
Well, I have clinics in St. Augustine. My main office is Total Image.
Mm-hmm.
I have a clinic in Chaguanas, right. One in DB and one in Princeton.
I know, you touched all of them. You were
I just came from Princeton and Chaguanas and came here.
Right.
So, okay. I am on the road every Tuesday and Thursdays at the different clinics.
Yeah.
And I'm in St. Augustine on a Monday, Friday, Saturday.
I do it in person with technology. No, you ain't doing no Zoom.
I'll tell you why you do it in person. When you do an interview with somebody, when you do a counseling with somebody, you see their body language.
Right.
You read so much into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because half the things they don't tell you, you know.
Yeah. You can figure out if they're lying or holding back.
Correct. And then important. You can treat them properly.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed, I during COVID, I think I did Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
But I never liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was too impersonal.
Right.
I like the personal interaction because I get to hear you, I get to see you. I see, okay, for example, I was just talking about cricket and you see the excitement.
Yeah, boy. Yeah.
Think about you talking about somebody with a sexual dysfunction. You could see the sadness. You could feel it. You could the humanity comes out in you. And then you say, but I have to help this man.
Mm-hmm.
I have to help this woman. I have to help them have a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, definitely. Dr. Raj, folks, so any numbers to reach you? Anything
645-4543 has never changed.
Yeah.
You know, the only calypso was made on that song.
Yeah,
645-4543.
And I see you on TikTok now, one thing too, boy.
Well, yeah.
Embracing the technology, the TikTok.
I'm like that. I try to embrace the technology because I have a very modern thinking brain, although I'm 61 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
But apart from that, you can reach me on my cell phone, 740-1961.
All right,
And I have no problem with somebody calling me.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, yes, based on Dr. Raj.
Good afternoon, man.
Now, probably this is the opportune time that I got through, nearing the end of the program and interview, Dr. Raj.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to beg the goodly doctor to advocate for persons to practice responsible sex. Because we have too many single parents, broken homes, because of unplanned and unwanted pregnancies. And probably the science and statistics doesn't show how much of a real problem that is. Because we have too many mothers and single mothers and single fathers trying to raise children outside of the institution of a family because of that moment of pleasure. So, again, in closing, I just want to ask the doctor to advise persons and plead the persons, please practice responsible sex. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And
sir.
He's very right. Mm-hmm. He's very, very right. I always advocate a parents, mother and father should bring up a child.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go having a child for having a child's sake. It's a freedom of choice, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like to know that a child is growing up with both parents actively involved in their lives. Because you get guidance from both.
Mm.
It's the same thing. A moment of pleasure shouldn't bring about a child because that's not something that you're planning for.
Yeah.
So if you're pregnant because of what you call a mistake, because of the pleasure and you didn't think about using a contraceptive, it's the same thing. You get an STD. You and you alone is responsible for that.
Yeah.
If you're not using a condom to have sex, if you don't know the status of an individual when it comes to whether they have any STD or STI, you are taking it upon yourself. You're playing with a loaded gun.
Mm.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Be responsible. But yes, I always advocate being a parent to a child, you need both parents for a child to grow up properly.
Now, these days, it need even more than both parents, yes?
Well, we had the extended family long ago.
Back in the days,
with the grandparents and
but these days, them grandparents want to be more young than the parents.
Correct.
Children.
No, you're right. You're right
time.
About that. Not we live in a different time, but again, values should not change so much in two generations and three generations where we abandon some of the things that are right
values
in our society.
Values, yeah,
that's why you have so much problems with crime.
Mm-hmm.
You have so much problem with delinquent children because they have no guidance.
Mm.
Sometimes I go and do lectures to youth groups, police youth groups and whatnot, and you see the amount of children who they don't know who their fathers are.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
so how are you going to discipline that child? How are you going to teach that child something?
Yeah.
So that's a difficulty we have in society. And all the social ills that we have, we could start fixing it if we start dealing with the root cause of it.
Everything.
Single parents taking care of children.
Mm-hmm.
They imagine a mother has to take care of two children, for example.
Yeah.
Send them to school. You know how expensive it is to send a child to school?
Of course. Yeah.
So she has to work two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
She has no time for her child or children.
Mm-hmm.
think about those
sometimes
things.
Sometimes she might be want to take in another man who promised her this and that and end up having an extra.
Correct,
child,
correct. You know? And she think that man is going to mind two stepchildren. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, boy.
It's not going to happen.
So it's hard out here, you know. Be careful what you're doing behind closed doors, people. But Dr. Rogers, always has been a pleasure, you know. And I want to, well, hope we can invite you again, man. Do come again. Don't be a stranger.
Well, it's up to you.
Yeah, man. No problem. You know what I mean?
You know thank that you I'm always much. Open.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for passing through and keep doing the good do.
Thank you. And thank you to the listeners of Freedom 106.1.
Yeah,
and 0.5, sorry. Mm-hmm. And it's a pleasure being here. So thank I hope you. To see you guys again.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.